Good morning. The scripture today is from Matthew 10, 24 to 39. The student is not above the teacher, or a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. Oh God, you have the power to make a desert a place of renewal and a cross a sign of redemption. Send your Holy Spirit so that we can hear you and entrust ourselves completely to you for the sake of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The gospel this week is hard. For one thing, there's a lot going on. There are several themes that are happening, one right after the other. So first, being a disciple doesn't mean your life is going to be easy. In fact, it'll actually be quite difficult, especially for the first disciples. I don't know if anyone has ever told any of you that, you know, if you become a Christian, your life is going to be so much easier. In some respects, in this time and place, life actually can be easier when you identify as a Christian. But if you're truly following Christ, like, some of the things that are asked of us they're just really hard to do, especially consistently. We all know of the ridicule and harassment and torture that Jesus endured, and we're under his tutelage. So, yeah, being a disciple isn't going to be all sunshine and daisies. However, Jesus goes on to say that even though it'll be difficult, we don't need to be afraid of being disciples. Which seems kind of easy for Jesus to say. But his point is that you don't need to be afraid because God knows you and loves you. Those little sparrows that are, you know, worth a few pennies, God thinks that they're worth millions, trillions. So how much more are you worth to God? You, who God knows so intimately that each hair on your head is numbered and each individual cell in your body is recognized. Peep people may discount you, even harm you, but God loves you and will care for you. And you know what? Those are the things that I like to preach about. I like those uplifting and encouraging parts of our scriptures and faith, and I wholeheartedly believe with every fiber in my being that in Christ, God is reconciling the whole world to God's self. And we, all of us here, not just me, all of us here are ministers of that message. And then Jesus goes on to say some things that are really hard for me to accept. Things that honestly seem really un-Christ-like to me. Things like, he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. That he's going to set us against one another and destroy families. Jesus said this. The one who tells us to love our enemies, the one who said the world will know his followers because of our love for God and neighbor, the same Bible that tells us to love strangers as much as ourselves, our spouse, our children, our parents, is saying that Jesus came to bring violence and division. I think we do know by now that Jesus doesn't speak to us or the disciples in this like real clear-cut, straightforward manner. Surely there's a deeper point that he's making. So, what else could be going on here? The most simple and the most obvious answer that I can just put right out there and that I can see is that this isn't an actual invitation to family dysfunction and disunity and conflict, but it's more of a reflection of the actual situation that's happening in Matthew's church at the time that it was being written. And many people in the first century and beyond literally had to choose between their family and their faith. I still think there are some broader implications, though. I see people read these passages like this, because there are several other passages that talk about disunity and loving God more than your family. But I see people reading passages like this and using it to justify cutting ties with their family today. I know so many stories of estrangement, family estrangement, because of differences in faith. And it's heartbreaking for everyone. I have a few friends who have been disowned by their religious parents because they are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or trans. Some of them even endured very traumatic and abusive conversion therapy because they so desperately wanted to please their family and continue to be a part of it. Shockingly, no, not shockingly at all, it didn't work. So they were tossed to the curb because their lifestyle goes against their family's religious conscience. Other friends have, rightfully, in my opinion, distanced themselves from parents or siblings that have weaponized their religion as a means to gain control and power and further abuse them. I do also know a lot of parents whose adult children no longer talk to them, but I have to admit I'm not as intimately familiar with those so I don't feel like I can talk about them all that much. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Why should we be concerned, right? Jesus didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, so on. And those family estrangements shouldn't bother us too much, right? Well, I won't bore you with all of the Greek grammar and syntax here, but there is a little ambiguity in the original Greek about who actually has the sword. I can clearly see here in an interpretation that understands Jesus' way of being in the world, like Jesus' existence, where Jesus lives and acts through love and compassion, that makes other people bring out their swords, proverbial or otherwise. We can't really be surprised that activities with the intent of radical transformation of the social order, you know, spreading the gospel message of justice and compassion, we shouldn't be too surprised that that leads to conflict. I mean, I honestly imagine that if Jesus was walking around among us today, that we'd be seeing social media posts and hearing conversations, people asking things like, well, you know, if this Jesus guy, if he's so connected to God, like, why does he get in so much trouble everywhere he goes? And we might recall that it wasn't Jesus' opponents who had strange and unsettling ideas. It was Jesus himself who was controversial. At the same time, though, we'd do well to remember that giving offense isn't a sure sign of faithfulness. True discipleship and discernment of God's kingdom, it takes seeking and questioning, wondering, you know, really pondering and reading the word and questioning whether our minds and actions are truly honoring Jesus or if we're just connecting to society's preferences. The gospel shakes up our values, rearranges all of our priorities, reorients our goals. And the message that Jesus preached can and does divide homes and families, even churches. The United Methodist Church is going through it right now. And that is the cost of discipleship sometimes. But Jesus isn't telling us to cut ties with or hate our families. There's a little bit of hyperbole that Jesus is using here to illustrate the steep costs involved in following him to make sure that we know what we're getting ourselves into. We are to exhibit deep affection and care for our earthly families. But we are to love them just a little bit less than we do God. Jesus ranks above our very closest human relationships and even life itself. What Jesus requires is a discerning obedience that has its eyes wide open as we accept responsibility for the order of the world and engage in transforming it the way that Jesus does. And it's in that way that individuals and families and all of society will thrive when the gospel's good news is heard and embraced. Thanks be to God. Amen.